Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 415 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave, and with me this week is Gray. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me on again.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for being on again. It's been a few weeks since you've been on. What have you been up to?
So I am still sort of plowing through a few things and finished a few. I've only sadly seen one film in this time that we've been apart, but that is my life. So recently, three shows I thought I'd talk about. I finished Echo on Disney Plus, finally. A little bit slow to the party to get there. I watched Marvel shows with a friend, and to find time in his schedule to watch it was really important. And we loved the aesthetic. We loved what it was trying to do, the whole like immersive element and the story. But we were then just sat there trying to place it. Where would we rank it in all of our series? Because we didn't feel like it did huge amounts. It was effective in terms of its storytelling, but for us, we were very confused with the past and the multiple characters that she was calling on that echoed through her, etc. And we thought, okay, it's definitely better than Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm. It has a little bit more to it than Falcon and Winter Soldier. So it's at the moment for us sitting there amongst like Moon Knight. It's sort of sitting there,
right, okay,
sort of like around that side. It's not up with your WandaVisions and no. Loki season one and season two. But you know, we appreciate it. Hawkeye still stands out, obviously the program she came from. But yeah, we liked it, but it's not going to be, in my mind, taking home loads of awards and accolades. And we know it's only a one season thing, so we can understand it might not be coming back, but I'm sure she's going to appear somewhere else in the multiverse. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. I can't remember whether she's part of, there's a sort of anti-hero team up thing, Thunder something.
Oh, Thunderbolts.
Yeah, I don't know whether she's one of the Thunderbolts, I can't quite remember, but yes,
possibly, yeah,
we'll see. I think she may pop up in that, but I'm not sure.
One thing I did watch, it is fascinating, it was at a documentary on Netflix. You know, sometimes you turn Netflix on and it goes all recommended for you, and it knows I've watched some of these classic crime thrillers from America.
True crime,
and this one's called American Nightmare, and it was told in three parts, and it was fascinating and it blew my mind. It was about a guy who calls the police to say his girlfriend has been kidnapped in the night with a bizarre set of circumstances. But you're interviewing him, and then you're interviewing her family, and you're thinking, if he did it, he wouldn't be being interviewed. There's something weird going on here. And then at the very I know it's a little bit spoilerific. Sorry, fans, if you can listen. A bit spoilerific, but at the very end of the episode one, she appears as the next talking head to take you into episode two.
Ah!
And like, the whole narrative is set up in the first one that the boyfriend's killed her, he's done something dodgy, and then it just builds up in episode two, and then episode three, there's another weird twist, and it is just one of those ones. And then I've read all about it online and on the news, and like, a bonkers story. They were in the newspapers and quite a big deal in America. But yeah, if you are into your real true crime and it hasn't come up as a suggested one on Netflix, go and watch it. Three episodes, about 45 minutes each. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, I might have to go and check that out. Yes, I like those sometimes.
They are done in the way that these documentaries are done, so I'm not going to deny what it's like in terms of its setup and those lots of sprawling drone shots from bird's eye view of towns and while they're talking about it. But anyway, so yeah, finish finished that, I would recommend that. And then I also finished Goed, which was on ITVX, which was the sitcom based in Liverpool, young lads. It had a bit of an in-betweeners vibe to it, but yes, they're all very scouse, written by a Liverpudlian. I thought it was really well done. Some good performances from the very new cast, with a couple of very well-known actors in like the adult and teacher roles. It did a good job, you know, and I'm comparing it to something I'm watching currently on BBC, which is Borders.
Right.
And I think Goed is supposed to be funnier, but does it better. Borders has a lot of discussions on class and ethnicity and gender, and I get that, but I sort of enjoy Goed a little bit more. So these new takes on young people, to the sex education vibe type of thing. Let's see what different communities are like in school. So that was Goed. I haven't finished huge amounts because I'm just watching loads, and I'm a few episodes in of things. So I'm watching One Day and Extraordinary, which I think I'm going to talk about with you in a moment. I started watching Rob Beckett's new TV show called Smart TV.
Yes, that's an interesting one, because I think what somebody pitched was, can we do Nevermind the Buzzcocks, but with TV shows?
Exactly. Because that's basically what it is. I was going to say that, because they've got their sport one, and they've now got their music one, and they're like, right, we need to get it. And because obviously some of the option question, have you watched the first episode?
Yes.
Yeah, so when they put the options, and like they are creasing and laughing, it's just like, I know where you've tried to pitch this, and we're enjoying it. We were laughing out loud. The episode two, Danny Mays is on there.
That's funny.
It was so funny. And like when they were trying to guess the casualty, what happens in Casualty and Richard Ayoade. It was absolutely brilliant episode. So yeah, really enjoying that. And I'm also slowly trying to get through True Detective. I gave up on True Detective after season one. It was too bleak and slow for me, but I'm really enjoying this one. I'm three episodes in, and I'm just, it's got a really twisty and turny and quite dark, and it reminds me a little bit of, do you remember Fortitude?
Right, yes. I thought it might have that sort of vibe. I haven't started it yet. I think I've downloaded the first episode onto my Skybox, but I haven't actually started it. So I do mean to go and look at that, because the reviews for this season have been really, really good, much to the annoyance of Nick, the original creator of it, who's been slagging it off. I think probably out of the fact that they basically took it away from him because he screwed it up after the first season, but it seems to have gone down incredibly well, and they have commissioned a new season of it. They have confirmed that it will continue to be an anthology. Jodie Foster's not coming back for the next season, she said. So
no, it's really good. I mean, yeah, it does have a lot of Fortitude vibes. So be surprised not to see the polar bear appears, and not the reindeer and things like that. So it was really good. And yes, I got out to the cinema to see one film since I last was on, and I went to see Argyle. Argyle is the latest from Matthew Vaughn. People know him from Kingsman. And I'll say it is a fun romp. It's not going to be bringing home the awards. It's not going to be dazzling us with 8-star reviews on IMDb. It's just a fun romp. So you've got Bryce Dallas Howard in the lead as this like reclusive author who writes crime fiction, but her agent she writes about starts almost coming to life and infiltrating her own world. And you've got sort of an appearance from Henry Cavill as the fictional agent. So he's not actually there, but you see him playing out some of the storylines. Sam Rockwell takes the co-lead. Bryan Cranston is the villain. And then you've also got Dua Lipa pops in there, Ariana DeBose, Richard E. Grant, John Cena. Obviously, Catherine O'Hara is in there as a mother as well. So some great acting.
Yeah.
And it's just Kingsman again. It's just got that.
Right.
There are some bonkers bits to a point where you're like, oh, it's Matthew Vaughn. I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to accept he's going to put a bonkers bit sequence in here, but we shouldn't really, because it just takes it out of where you are. So yeah, it was fun. And again, it was something I didn't want to think about too much, because it was either that or trying to see all the Oscar fodder films, which can sometimes be quite mentally draining after a day of work.
Yes, particularly as they're not all that cheerful this year either. So, you know,
I was trying to look into earlier, like, oh, maybe I should go and see Zone of Interest. Oh, no, that does not sound fun. And then what was the other one? Anatomy of a Fall. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound too cheery either.
No.
So there's all these films I'm like, so anyway, but yeah, that's me still ploughing through loads. Dave, what have you got up to this week?
couple of things. Extraordinary, which you mentioned you've been watching as well, back from a second season. I have actually watched the whole thing because it is all up there as a box set. There's 8 episodes in season 2 and they're only like half hour episodes, so you can get through them fairly quickly. It pretty much picks up where we ended with the last season. Jen had decided to go and try and get her power, because the entire setup for this is she's in a world where everybody has power except her. There was a clinic which is the sort of thing which is supposed to help you get your power, and it basically turns out that it's not just a case of, hey, you know, we'll figure out your power and here's your power. It is a sort of self-help thing where you've got to go in and have sessions and try and figure out what is blocking your power coming through, which sets up this really entertaining thing of going into Jen's mind, which is essentially a room that is filled with books, which are hilarious boys I've ghosted and inappropriate fantasies and all that sort of stuff. So there's really entertaining stuff in there. You've got the relationship with her boyfriend and the couple that she shares the flat with that have split up at the end of the last season. So there's the fallout from that as well. It's just a really, really fun show. I am absolutely loving the second season. I thought it was brilliant. Ends in a really interesting place. So I'm very intrigued to see what they do for a third season, assuming it comes back. I don't think it has been renewed yet, but I really hope this goes down well and it comes back for another season, because it is such fun, that series. Where are you up to?
I am episode 3, where it was his child got turned into an older person.
Yes.
I'm trying not to spoil it with the simplest thing. So yeah, it was the old man on the swings episode, I think I just finished watching. So
it's very, very funny that. If you haven't caught Extraordinary yet, very much the sort of very UK in-betweeners vibe, but with some superpower stuff in there as well, although they're not playing heavily on that particularly. It's not them kind of battling villains or anything like that. It's just a world where people have powers, and the powers are go from quite normal to utterly ridiculous, and it's just so wonderfully done. Go and check out Extraordinary. It's on Disney Plus. It's well worth watching. There's another show which I'm working my way through. I'm probably about the middle of it at the moment. I haven't quite finished it yet. It's called Death and Other Details, which is also on Disney Plus.
I saw the image on Disney Plus. It looked very intriguing, and I know we've talked about it on your podcast, and I was like, oh, can I get around to watching this? But I haven't started it.
Yeah, I can't remember whether I've mentioned this on here before, since I've actually started watching it, but basic setup for it is following the world's greatest detective, who is played by Mandy Patinkin, but he's kind of down on his luck at this point. You're following somebody called Imogen Scott, played by Violet Bean, who you will know from The Flash, probably is one of the things that she was in. She finds herself in the wrong place at the wrong time and becomes sort of the prime suspect in a locked room murder mystery, where there is a guy, they're on a cruise ship, and this guy in a locked room has been killed. To prove her innocence, she has to team up with a man that she utterly despises, which is Rufus Coltsworth, which is the character that Mandy Patinkin plays, who's the world's greatest detective, although, as I say, kind of down on his luck at this point. He's there sort of working security for one of the families that have involved in the hiring this boat. There's two families that are trying to close this enormous business deal, which is worth billions. So there's lots of sort of interesting characters. It's got elements of Poirot to it. It's got elements of, you know, Glass Onion, that sort of feel as well. It's quite fun. They show things from slightly different angles. Slightly off-putting if you know Mandy Patinkin from other things, because he's doing an English accent throughout the whole thing, which is kind of okay, but not great. And it slips a little bit here and there. And that is a little off-putting to me and kind of pulls me out slightly. But still very enjoyable. It's a very, very fun drama, comedy drama-ish. I mean, it's all dramedy. Well worth watching. I think the whole thing is actually up on Disney Plus. I'm just working my way through it at the moment, so I'm about halfway. But I am rather enjoying that. It was a Hulu series in the US. Good cast, good sort of leads for it. It's also got Rahul Kohli in there as well, who you'll know from iZombie and the what were the Haunting of whatever things in
Bly Manor.
I think he was in those as well. A number of good members of the cast in there, and lots of sort of misdirection and stuff. So if you like those sort of of murder mystery type things, this is quite a fun one to go and check out. The other thing, of course, which was this week, was the Oscars, which I actually sat and watched most of it. I watched some of it the sort of following morning, but I have to say, I think it was probably the best Oscars ceremony they've had in a long time. Really, really enjoyed the format of it. I thought Jimmy Kimmel held things together really, really well. There was some entertaining jokes from him. The monologue was good. There was a lot of ribbing quite early on of Robert Downey Jr. about sort of, you know, this not being his first career high, which, if you know Robert's history, just sort of know where he's going with that. But held it together very, very well. You know, decent, solid host for it, I thought. There were some great moments in it as well, some of which I'm sure you've seen on social media since it happened. But Ryan Gosling doing I'm Just Ken, I think, is one of the standout things, with, I think it was 64 other Kens they had in, including Simu Liu and Shooty as well, who were Kens in the film. They got some of those guys to come up and be the backing dancer Kens for the performance. It was sort of a takeoff of the Marilyn Monroe Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend performance, where she's in the sort of pink dress surrounded by guys, and he was in a pink suit, and, you know, they were all dressed in the same sort of outfits as well. Plus, just to add a little bit to it, Slash from Guns N' Roses was thrown in as well towards the end. Absolutely great performance. Really, really entertaining. And the song's really fun. Didn't win, unfortunately. The song actually went to the other Barbie song done by Billie Eilish. But I mean, if they'd been voting there on the night, I think, I mean, that brought the house down, and I think probably would have definitely won based on that performance. Other favourite moments, John Cena doing the Oscar for costumes, which was hilarious. They actually did a little skit beforehand, and they were explaining how they'd been a streaker on stage during, I think it was 1971, when David Niven was presenting an award. And Jimmy sort of says, you know, can you imagine if a naked man walked out on stage now? And he repeats the line because John Cena doesn't appear, and John Cena kind of pops his head out going, I'm not doing it. You know, he's kind of doing this. But yeah, what eventually convinced to come out, and he's completely naked and just walks out, edges out from the side of the stage, and he's standing there with just the envelope protecting his modesty, and just says, costumes are so important.
I've just been watching a video just before of the, how they did the change and brought on the the toga wear, and like how many people had came on stage during that sort of appearance of a blackout to get him all dressed. And I was just watching it as quite a fascinating thing that he was doing there.
Yeah, that would have been better had they just had him just come out like that and not done the setup for it. I think it actually would have been funnier if he'd literally just kind of come out naked holding the thing over his junk and just gone, costumes are so important. But that was still highly entertaining. There was Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, of course, from Twins, reuniting them, but they're also both in Batman movies, and Michael Keaton was sat in the front row, and there was some banter back and forth about sort of how Batman had killed them and or got rid of them, you know, so that was quite entertaining. Emma Stone receiving the award for Best Actress, a rather chaotic acceptance speech because she was just all over the place, and she gets up and goes, don't look at my back of my dress, I ripped it earlier, I blame Ryan, I think it happened during I'm Just Ken. That was quite funny and entertaining. And the one sort of misstep, Al Pacino at the end announcing the Best Picture, and doesn't fluff it, but you could hear the heart stop of like the Oscars crew, because he sort of throws it away and just kind of comes out, shuffles out, sort of does, right, I'm here to announce Best Picture, opens the envelope and goes, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And, you know, instead of goes, the winner is Oppenheimer. Yeah, so it was a bit weird how he did it. And then they all started to come up on stage. So it was, you kind of like, that was the only slightly odd moment of it. But overall, really, really entertaining evening. And there were some great moments. You can go and check them out, kicking around on YouTube, but it's really good. In terms of the other things on the show as well, it was interesting how they structured it, because for the key categories of sort of lead actor, lead actress, supporting actress, they had five previous winners come up and sort of do tributes to each of the people that had been nominated. So in some cases, them being sort of quite close friends of whoever the person was nominated. That was really quite sweet and touching, and it worked really, really well, because it sort of brought the emotion out a bit more. Divine winning for Best Supporting Actress, who was introduced by Lupita Nyong'o. The moment they started doing that, she was already tearing up. And then when they announced her as the winner for Best Supporting Actress for a movie called The Holdover, I was kind of willing her to win that award, because I thought that's going to be the best person to go up and do it. And she was just in tears, but it was really quite sweet. Billie Eilish, as I mentioned, won for her song from Barbie. That's her second Oscar win, and she's 22 years old.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh my God, I can't imagine what I was doing. But when I was 22, I hadn't even got my first proper job.
Yeah, 22 years old, just ridiculous. Oh, there was a really cute thing. Anatomy of a Fall has a dog in it who rather stole the show, apparently, in the film, called Messi. And he's a black and white border collie, plays Snoop the dog in the movie. But it was really sweet, because whenever they cut to him, because he was sat in one of the chairs in the theatre, whenever they cut to him and people were applauding, they had a pair of like fake paws that were applauding for him. It's just really, really cool. There was a really lovely speech from Cord Jefferson, who won Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction, who basically sort of called out Hollywood during the speech and saying, instead of making one $200 million movie, try making 20 $10 million movies or 50 $4 million movies, which, quite right too. You know, I mean, that has been one of the issues, is it's very difficult to get low budget movies made these days. In terms of overall winners, though, Oppenheimer absolutely stormed it, got 7 in total. Poor Things did okay as well. That got 4, and everybody else, I think, pretty much got 1 each. A lot of firsts as well. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which was a short by Wes Anderson. First Oscar after 8 nominations. I'm amazed Wes Anderson hasn't won one before, to be honest. But yeah, same with Christopher Nolan. He won for Oppenheimer as Best Director, and that's his first Oscar after 8 nominations. Cillian Murphy won for Oppenheimer for Best Lead Actor. First Oscar, I think first nomination as well. And the first Irishman to win Best Actor, which I was quite surprised.
I was surprised by that too when I read that.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. won for Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer as well. His acceptance speech started off with, I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy, in that order, which I thought was great. First Oscar, 3rd nomination for that. And 20 Days in Mariupol, which is the first Oscar ever to be won by somebody from Ukraine. And he gave an absolutely beautiful speech talking about how he didn't want to make that film and he wish he hadn't made it, but he felt he had to. He was sort of basically saying, I'd trade it for the violence to stop, essentially, was pretty much his message, because it is about the war in Ukraine. That was just such a wonderful, heartfelt speech. So yeah, Barbie and Oppenheimer being the two big movies, Poor Things as well being up there, but Barbie only coming away with 1, and that was for Best Song. Any thoughts on, we've got the sort of whole category list up, but I mean, I don't know what you've seen and what you haven't. So
what I was just reflecting on this morning is, obviously, it was such a successful summer last year with having Barbie and Oppenheimer bringing life back to the cinema and the whole marketing campaign, Barbenheimer and things like that. And so, you know, we can sit back now and say, well, Barbie won the commercial element and Oppenheimer has won the critical. I just wish, and I know there's been a little bit of regard to this, that Oppenheimer had acknowledged Barbie, because I believe that some of their success, I'm not saying all of it, but some of their success was due to the fact of this joint marketing campaign, and they picked up some excessive audience that maybe wouldn't have gone to see it, just like Barbie got some audience that maybe wouldn't have come to see it because of Oppenheimer. And I just think I would have loved to see a little bit more acknowledgement either from Nolan or even from Murphy while he was accepting. But I think cinema is doing really well. There are still too many films in that list that we do not know, because the marketing and decline of people going to the cinema is dropping. Mm-hmm. I want to go and see more, but then you come around to it and they're really hard to find, or they've been out already and they're already like on streaming services. And I think it's come a long way since the days where, you know, five of those movies in when it was a list of eight, you had seen like up on the top of the box office over the weeks coming up to it. I just think at this point, Oppenheimer and Barbie were so far long ago. Mm-hmm. And then you only had really Poor Things recently trying to do the cinema. Maestro was on streaming. Killers of the Flower Moon was on streaming. The Holdovers had a limited release. And I just think I want cinema to feel revived again. And actually what Cord said is true. Like, we're so waiting for big blockbusters, and actually they've driven the audience to desire huge blockbusters that we've probably lost good storytelling. Mm-hmm. And then we don't see enough good storytelling. But no, a good night. And I'm really pleased that they have won. And I've always been a Christopher Nolan fan, but I think, you know, there could have been a little bit of acknowledgement of what Barbie brought to the box office. So
I think that's fairly true. And if you do want to catch some of the winners, by the way, a lot of them are around on streaming. So 20 Days in Mariupol, if you want to put yourself through that, it's actually, it went out Monday night on Channel 4, and it is on Channel 4 streaming right now. So you can go and check that out if you want to go and watch that. I imagine that's going to be a very, very tough watch, but there is that. Oppenheimer, you can buy and rent now, or if you want to wait a little bit and you've got a Sky Cinema subscription or a Now Cinema subscription, 12th of April for that. Poor Things is now on Disney Plus, so you can go and check that out there. The Last Repair Shop, which won for Best Documentary Short, that's on Disney Plus as well. American Fiction, that is on Prime Video, so you can go and check that there. Wonderful Stories, Henry Sugar, which is the Wes Anderson one, that's on Netflix, so you can go check that. Holdovers, Anatomy of a Fall, which won for Best Original Screenplay. Zone of Interest, which won Best International Feature, which is, that's an interesting one actually, because that's a UK made film and it won Best International Feature. They're all available to buy or rent at the moment. Barbie is available to buy or rent, of course, although I think a lot of people will have seen that already. The only missing ones that won awards was The Boy and the Heron, which was Best Animated Feature, and Godzilla Minus One, which won for Best Special Effects. Both of those are kind of AWOL right now. May-ish, I think they get disc and streaming releases in Japan, so it's going to be sometime after that. They're probably going to drop at some point over the summer in the rest of the world, but those are the winners if you want to go and try and find those. So a lot of them are available to buy or rent, but some of them are available for free on streaming, so you can go and check some of those out. And of course, I mean, the other nominees are kicking around as well, but we're not going to go through absolutely everything because that would take forever. So yes, it's been such a strong year, and given what a weird year it's been for the industry with the strikes and everything, and they did acknowledge the strikes at the ceremony, and they got all the sort of teamsters and stuff, they got a lot of them out on stage to take a bow for their support for the actors and writers, and they have also got negotiations coming up, I think, this year. And I mean, hopefully that doesn't go for a strike again, but the actors will of course have said, you know, actors and writers will support you in your negotiations as well, which, I mean, they'd have to, because you can't make a film without the people that are like holding the cameras and holding the mics and everything else. So, you know, we'll have to see how all the Teamsters stuff plays out. It's been a phenomenal quality despite everything. The best film category, I think, was absolutely stunning this year, and you know, really interesting selection of stuff. But I mean, from Oppenheimer to Poor Things to Barbie and everything in between, it's just crazy list of things that have been out. So some great stuff to go and check out. That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we start off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations, and pickups. Start off with a Netflix cancellation, as we frequently do, because it's Netflix. They've cancelled Breakpoint, which was a sort of tennis version of Drive to Survive, except it really didn't match the success of Drive to Survive, so that's been canned. We've got a couple which have been renewed, but have also got final seasons for. So Upload renewed for a fourth and final season. That, according to its creator, is planned. He planned four seasons for it, so that is coming to an end. And have you watched Upload? I don't
know whether... Yeah, I'm really pleased about that, because it took me a while to get back into three because of the gap between two and three. And then by the time I got into three and got to the end, I was like, no, they need one more. They need to round this out. Yeah. It is really good. There are a few episodes which are dud, but I really enjoy the story and I really want to see how they round it out.
Yeah, and it had sort of got to a point where it needed to come to a conclusion. I think a bit like The Good Place, as much as I like The Good Place, which was, you know, a similar kind of show in some respects, I kind of feel like that was a wonderful, wonderful show, but it needed to come to an end because it had a finite story. And I think Upload is the same. Avatar The Last Airbender actually renewed for two more seasons by Netflix, but it will conclude with its third season, which again makes sense because I think the original animated series had three seasons. I mean, it had a lot more episodes. There's like 60 odd episodes of the original animated show, but the idea is that each season will follow a season of the animated show. So it's sort of done in three kind of books, essentially. So that's what they're going to do with the live action series. And they've approved the other two seasons of it. So I think that's fine. And they know that going into it. So that's going to get rounded out like that. The other thing is a cancellation of a streaming service, which is BritBox UK. It's going to be closed down on the 30th of April, the app and the website. However, all the content is going to be on ITVX. In fact, it already is on ITVX. It'll be on ITVX Premium. This writing has been on the wall for this for a while, because when you cancelled your BritBox UK subscription, they were going, hey, don't cancel completely. We'll give you a ITVX Premium subscription for less money, and you'll get all the same content, plus you can watch ITV without ads. So, you know, I think it's sort of surplus to requirements at this point. It makes far more sense to run through everything through ITVX Premium, I think. You've never had a BritBox subscription, I don't think, have you, sir?
No. I know that I've seen some of the content on ITVX, but when I saw this, I was like, I knew the writing was on the wall, but it's a bit odd, isn't it? It's just how that's happening. And then we've got the Freely coming later on as well. It's just like British TV just needs to sort itself out in terms of where things are going to be and make us, you know, as powerful as the international brands. But if we keep starting things up and crashing it or merging it or closing it, it just shows that we're not really prepared. So
my understanding is it's BritBox UK is closing, but I don't think BritBox US is, because it's a separate sort of thing. They'd already started to kind of separate it out. ITV had taken the major share in BritBox. Can sort of understand why they're doing this in the UK, because it seems a bit stupid to have these two separate services when they can just operate all on one. So, I mean, I get why they're doing it here. There is one straight up renewal which hasn't landed here yet, but that's Justin Hartley series Tracker, which we spoke about a while back, but that's got an early season two renewal by CBS. So hopefully that encourages somebody to pick it up over here. It has been going down really quite well for CBS. So we'll have to see whether anybody deigns to pick that up here, but that looked quite good. So that's coming back for a second season already. In terms of things that have been picked up and got dates in the UK, Orphan Black Echoes, that is coming 20th of May, they have said, to ITVX in the UK, and all episodes are landing in as a box set. This is set in the near future, takes a deep dive into the exploration of science, manipulation of human existence, follows a group of women as they weave their way into each other's lives and embarks on a thrilling journey, unraveling the mystery of their identity, uncovering a wretched story of love and betrayal. Kirsten Ritter and Keely Hawes star in it, as well as a number of other fairly well-known names. It is, of course, a spin-off from our beloved Orphan Black. Orphan Black will be dropping on ITVX. They just haven't got a date for it yet. I did double-check that to make sure they haven't lost it entirely. They are getting it. They're just getting their ducks in a row for it. That will be coming up as well if you want to be able to watch the original show. And I urge you to do that because Tatiana Maslany's performance in it is absolutely outstanding. But don't know when that's dropping yet, but presumably it'll be before the 20th of May when Orphan Black Echoes drops. Have you got any interest in this? I can't remember whether you watched the original.
No, I think I watched like episode one back in the day, but never got any further into it. And I was looking at this list earlier. I know you're about to talk about three others. And I thought, wow, nearly everything interests me. And then I was thinking, can I go into Orphan Black without having seen the original? But some people have said it'd be good to watch the first one to see this spin-off. But I might give it a try. You never know.
Yeah, we don't at the moment know how closely it's going to tie in or whether it's sort of just set in the same world. I may have more on that soon because I may be talking to the showrunner for it. So we'll see. But I am looking forward to Orphan Black Echoes because I loved the original show so much. And if you haven't seen it, it is worth going to look at. How closely this ties into it, I don't know. Other shows, the FBIs have got kickoff dates. So season six kicks things off on the 21st of March at 9 p.m. on Sky Witness. International follows that for season three at 10 p.m. FBI Most Wanted, that's moved around a little bit. So season four of that does technically premiere the following week on Tuesday, the 26th of March at 9 p.m. on Sky Witness. But that is before the other two shows air their second episode, so it is still in the correct order, if that makes sense.
Do you know if, I know they've got less episodes because of the strike, do you know if there's a big collaborative three episode one like they did last season?
I am not sure this season whether there is or not, but they are running in the correct order. Don't worry that they look like they're one of them's running a week behind. It isn't. It's just starting the week after, but before the others come back. So it is all in the right order. It's just the main reason I think for that is because in the US they run it at 8, 9 and 10. The problem is that you can't do that in the UK because of the content of the shows. As somebody mentioned when we were talking in the comments, somebody pointed out that that's probably most likely the reason they don't run to 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. is a bit late to be putting on something which is one of your major series. You'd have to cut it if it was on at 8 p.m. So I think the reason they do that is so they can run it during prime time. That's why that one is on a separate night, because sort of 9-10 p.m. is their prime time on there. So they're all coming back from Thursday the 21st of March. Beyond Paradise back for its second season. That's the spin-off from Death in Paradise. That's back on Friday the 22nd of March at 8 p.m. on BBC One. You watch those shows?
I do, yep. Do watch those.
That's been back. I know there's a lot of love for Chris Marshall out there, so I'm sure you'll enjoy that. And Alex Rider Season 3 has got premiere date 5th of April on Freevee for the third and actually the final season for it as well. I mean, there are obviously, I think, more books they could probably adapt. However, the guy that's playing Alex, I didn't realise. I looked up his age. He's 27 years old.
Yeah, he's pushing it a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, and, I mean, he got away with it when they started 5 years ago. But I kind of think you're getting to the point where you probably can't get away with it now. So we'll see. But they're doing a third and final season of that. It's a shame because it is a very, very good show. That, and I certainly enjoyed the first season. Still haven't got around to watching the second season because I forget it's on Freevee. But I'm wondering whether they might dump it across onto Prime again at some point, because I think the first season went out on Prime, so yeah. You can watch it without adverts, because that's really what I want, is to be able to watch it without adverts. In other news, BBC have picked up an adaptation. It's a new adaptation of Ian Rankin's Rebus novels. Do you remember there was an original version of this?
Yes.
I mean, we're going back
what
a number of years.
What was his name, the older Scottish actor? Ken Stott.
Ken Stott. Yeah, although originally, before Ken Stott took over the role. It was John Hannah apparently did it first for like the first season or something, because I think he was a producer on it and they couldn't get the actor that he wanted to play the role. So he was like, well, I'll just have to do it myself. But he didn't really feel comfortable doing it. And then they got Ken Stott to do it, who was a much more appropriate actor for it. But there's a new version of it coming. It stars Richard Rankin. Richard Rankin is no, it's not nepotism. There's no relation to Ian Rankin. That's purely a coincidence. But Richard Rankin is going to be playing Rebus in this. So reimagines John Rebus as a younger detective sergeant drawn into a violent criminal conflict that turns personal when his brother Michael, a former soldier, crosses the line into criminality. Rebus finds himself torn between protecting his brother and enforcing the law to bring Michael to justice. Epic series explores family, morality and class throughout through an emotionally charged story set against the Scottish landmarks that Rankin's readers will know well. Filming took place in Glasgow and Edinburgh last year. It's coming in spring 2024. That's the reason it's come round fairly quickly. I think it was done for Viaplay originally, and then Viaplay decided they were going to pull out of the UK, which was another streaming service. That's why it's ended up on the BBC, because they basically just sold it on. Good person to lead it. Richard Rankin, if you're trying to place that name, or if you've looked him up and trying to think, where do I know that face from? He's Outlander is probably the biggest thing people know him from. He's a great actor, and I think he'd be a really interesting lead for this. But any interest in this one?
I'm not sure. I do love my crime dramas, but I never was into it originally. I'm quite happy with Mavira at the moment. So Vera and Grace are my two that I like watching. But I might give it a go, but I can't make any promises.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one because it feels very much like it's something that would fit extremely well on the BBC in that sort of strike mold, which there is, of course, a new season of that coming as well. But it does feel like it sort of fits in that area. We'll have to see. But yes, coming spring 2024, we haven't got an exact date for that yet, but that's Rebus. Missing You, which is one of the two Harlan Coben novels that Netflix ordered after there was that smash hit series that came out. They then ordered two more. They've found a lead for that. So Slow Horses' Rosalind Elazar is going to be taking the lead in that. 11 years ago, a detective, Kat Donovan's fiance Josh, the love of her life, disappeared and she never heard from him since. Now swiping profiles on a dating app, she suddenly sees his face and her world explodes all over again. Josh's reappearance will force her to dive back into the mystery surrounding her father's murder and uncovering long buried secrets from her past. Rosalind Elzar played opposite Gabby Oldman and Jack Loudon in the absolutely fantastic Slow Horses. If you've not caught that series, definitely go and watch that. It's on Apple TV. She also popped up in Harlot. She was in some episodes of Death in Paradise and Breeders as well. She popped up in Victoria Asra Archer, who worked on Stay Close, has written it, and it is from the team that has done with Danny Brocklehurst and the rest of them at K-Stute Studios that did the rest of the Harlan Coben novels. They're the team that are doing this as well. So don't know exactly when this is going to be dropping. It's probably going to be next year, but yeah, that will be the next Harlan Coben one, and that's going to be the lead for it. Have you been watching any of those Harlan Coben?
Yeah, I really enjoy them all, and yeah, this is exciting, but I really hope, in a really silly marketing move, they haven't just spoiled the next season of Slow Horses, because yes, we all know in that trailer what he says, and if people know what I'm talking about, if it's her, then they've obviously just dropped a spoiler, because they want to market her as the next lead. But is it being done a little bit too quickly because Slow Horses hasn't come back yet?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm intrigued. And when am I watching it? If it is the case, I'm like, well, that was a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, Slow Horses doesn't necessarily take that long to shoot, so there's no reason why she couldn't do both. I get what you're saying, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything for her character in Slow Horses, so we'll have to wait and see. I mean, she's a great actress. I think she'd be a really good solid lead for that. We'll have to see whether Richard Armitage pops up in this one, because he seems to have been in all the others. He was on the Oscars coverage as well with Jonathan Ross randomly as well, because I think he's got there's a thing called Red Eye, I think, coming up on ITV, and he's in that. So if you're a Richard Armitage fan, that's another one for you to look out for. Lastly in the news, there is a Baywatch reboot actually in active development. I mean, we've been talking about this on and off for years, but it actually looks like they are properly developing it. It's been done by Fox. Weirdly, this is the second end lifeguard drama Fox have actually picked up and are working on. There's one, I think, called High Surf, which they're also actually, I think, has gone going to series, whereas this is only a pilot order at the moment. But, I mean, as I'm sure most of you are aware, Baywatch followed the action and drama of the lives of Los Angeles County elite lifeguards who patrol the beaches of Los Angeles County, California. The original shows starred David Hasselhoff as Mitch Buchanan, ex-Navy SEAL turned lifeguard. He was actually the only character, I think, that lasted all 9 seasons of it. And of course, also had Pamela Anderson in it, Lazarine Breathe, Erica and Ilac, and it even featured a young Jason Momoa in the later seasons as well, which I'd completely forgotten until somebody mentioned it on the press stuff. But the new version, it'll see the return of Daring's Ocean Rescues, pristine beaches and iconic red bathing suits, along with a whole new generation of Baywatch lifeguards who navigate complicated, messy personal lives in this action-packed reboot that demonstrates there is a family you're born with and the family you find. I mean, it sounds like they are actually going for a reboot and not sort of something else set in the same universe, but I mean, we'll have to see whether they do recast somebody as Mitch. I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't necessarily just do it with an entirely new bunch of people with slightly different names, which would then give you the option of bringing some of the old cast back, you know, have cameos from Hasselhoff and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether you need that, though. I mean, maybe you are better off just making a complete break from it. It's been given a fairly sizable, according to reports, script plus penalty commitment for a pilot, which in TV talk basically means that they've ordered the script, and if they don't then go on from that script to make the pilot episode, they've got to hand over a big bag of cash to the production companies that are creating it. Lara Olsen is the person who's been handed the reins as writer and showrunner. She worked on the 90210 reboot. She also worked on CBS's Blood and Treasure, which I seem to remember was quite a silly over-the-top series. The 2012 Beauty and the Beast remake as well. And she worked on CW's drama Rain. You can see the sort of area that they're going into. It seems to be that sort of young, beautiful teen drama-y thing that she's got a lot of experience in. She's going to be exec producing with a bunch of the guys that were the original exec producers. It's co-production between Fremantle and Fox Entertainment. Fremantle were involved, I think, in the original show. I don't know how much you watched the original Baywatch. I mean, I'm quite happy to see
it. It was a Saturday night sort of, you know, Gladiators, Baywatch, Blind Date, Surprise, Surprise, all those things you used to watch on a Saturday night when we were growing up. I feel like we're going to be reliving that in a few months' time. Like, we're going to be, you know, we're watching Gladiators at the moment, and even like Wheel of Fortune, and it's like reliving my entire childhood. I'll bring back London's Burning next.
Yes. The Bill. Oh.
Yes. Oh, God.
So, as I say, at the moment, it is only a pilot order. They probably will make that pilot, given that it's going to cost them money if they don't. However, whether that goes to series or not still remains to be seen. I mean, it's a big brand name. It's the closest we've got to a potential reboot of Baywatch. As I say, we don't know. It does say reboot, so it may not feature any of the original cast, but we'll have to wait and see with that. But it's being done by Fox in the US. And as a reminder, Fox has nothing to do with Disney at this point. The Fox channel in the US has nothing to do with Disney, so it's not suddenly going to appear on Disney Plus over here. And if you want to watch the original, I think they're all on Freevee over here. You can go and check them out if you want to go and check the original episode, and they've all been upscaled and polished and stuff if you want to go watch the original show. So that's all the news for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV next. So, highlights for next week. We have Invincible returning for, well, season 2 part B, but it's basically the last 4 episodes. They really spaced that out badly. But 14th of March, that lands on Prime Video. There has been some discussion about how they're hoping to get the next season out a lot faster than they did with season 2, because the gap was enormous between season 2 and then they put a gap in the middle of the season 2 episodes. So, yeah, hopefully that comes around quicker. But that's a great animated series. I'm looking forward to that being back. Girls 5 Ever Season 3, that lands on Netflix. Remember that was, I think it was on Peacock and then moved to Netflix for its third season. So that's been a while. You watched that, didn't you, I think?
Yeah, it's really bonkers. Yeah, it's really good. I did watch that. I saw this coming, but I didn't think it actually got renewed for a third because it kind of rounded a lot of it off in the second. And it is so bonkers and out there. You've got to find a niche audience for it. But yeah, I look forward to watching that.
Yeah, that was the show about a one-hit wonder girl band from the 90s who get a second shot at fame. But that, I think the first two seasons must be on Netflix as well now. So third season coming out on Netflix, 14th of March for that. Whitstable Pearl, which is, I think it's an Acorn TV show that's been picked up by Drama. That's coming to the 14th of March at 9 p.m. Single mum Pearl pursues her lifelong dream and starts a private detective agency in the coastal town of Whitstable. That's a nice sort of gentle UK TV drama channel type show if you want to go and check that out. But 14th of March at 9 p.m. for that. Hunted, the reality show which chases a group of people trying to get away from modern surveillance as they live off the grid. Season 7 of that lands on Channel 4 on the 17th of March at 9 p.m. And Hightown, which technically isn't a premiere because it did air on Lionsgate Plus, but first time for quite a lot of people, probably because there wasn't that many people that had Lionsgate Plus, which is why they shut it down. Alibi, that is landing on. So where Hightown comes to Alibi for its first season. Set on Cape Cod, series follows a young one woman's journey to sobriety intertwined with an unfolding murder investigation. So Alibi have picked that up 19th of March at 10 p.m. for that. I think there are three seasons of that so far, so they've got more that they can run out of it, but that'll be season one. Not a huge amount for me this week, but certainly I will be checking out Invincible, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Invincible, Girls 5 Ever, and I know my other half will enjoy watching Hunted, so we'll be watching that one that's back on as well.
Yes. People want to chat to you whilst you're off doing other things. Where could they find you?
Follow me on most social media. I'm either on @GreyTheGeek or @GreyPantin, depending on which one, but if you go onto one, you'll see me linked to all the others as well. So
yeah, so go and check out Grey on various social media platforms. For other people involved in the show, Beck's still on hiatus, so you won't find Trista Bites anywhere right now. She will be coming back at some point. And Matt, you can go and find over at entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts. I think there was some Man U win this weekend, so I am sure he'll be talking about that. And Daryl, you can find over at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, Blue Sky at Geektown, Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.